the more that you can empower individuals to act on and test new ideas within those companies, it's just more a function of, do they want to act on them? And then putting the resources behind actually doing it.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to insurance innovation. So, you know, I want to remind folks that Startup Bootcamp InsurTech has the first cohort that's coming up, and they've already chosen the startups a few months ago, but the demo day is actually going to be coming up in April. So that's going to be on April 18th in Hartford. So if you are in the Hartford area, just make sure that you take the opportunity to sit in and see what these startups have been pulling together over the last few months in order to help to innovate the ecosystem of insurance and really bring that spirit of innovation to the Hartford area. You know, I think you're going to be really surprised about, you know, what you see coming out of Startup Bootcamp InsurTech. You know, I had the opportunity to sit with a lot of those startups, as I mentioned in some earlier podcasts, and they've been doing such a great job really trying to hone in on getting an understanding of what's happening in this industry and how they can provide value and change the value chain for the insurance industry. So take the opportunity if you are in the Hartford area to do that. And, you know, I think you'll be, you know, really surprised about what you see. I also, you know, want to let you all know that if you're going to be in Silicon Valley on the 26th, 27th, and 28th at the SVIA conference, take the opportunity to just come and stop by. If you see me, you know, stop me, talk to me about whatever you want to talk about in regards to insurance innovation or just anything in general. I'd love to have the opportunity to grab a coffee or, you know, just to maybe grab some lunch with you. Folks that are listening to this podcast, and you know, just get to know you, and just to really get an understanding of what your thoughts are around what's happening in the insurance industry. So, it's at the SVIA conference. It is in Silicon Valley from the 27th and the 28th, and I think if you are going, you'll have a good time, and it'll just be a good opportunity for us to get to know each other at that conference. The last thing I wanted to mention before we jump into today's guest is I wanted to announce that a lot of folks know that I'm the head of the Commercial Lines Product Management Group for a large insurer here in Worcester, Massachusetts, in the Northeast in the Northeast of the U.S. For those international folks that are listening, you know, I recently announced my departure from that organization that I'm currently working with, and I am now going to be the head of innovation for another organization out of the Midwest. So I'll let folks know what organization that is at some point in time, but if you are listening, I guess after tomorrow, you'll have an opportunity to go on my LinkedIn and check me out in terms of where I'm heading up innovation for. You know, so I think this is going to be a really exciting opportunity. I'm going to have the opportunity to work with so many people that are passionate about this insurance industry, and I love working around passion. That's not to say I haven't had that opportunity where I'm at today, but in just the conversations that I've had thus far, the passion around this organization and the people in this organization and where this organization is going has really excited me and really motivated me to work with that organization as their head of innovation to really hone in on what transformation and innovation opportunities I can help to bring and just to lead that organization into the future. So I'm really excited about that opportunity. I'm just super excited. So I just wanted to let folks know that here on the podcast. But otherwise, before we jump in, I want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal.
Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954 473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com.
Now, today I'm speaking with Chad Nitschke. Now, Chad is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Bunker. Now, Bunker is a technology platform that automates insurance certificate tracking in addition to a licensed digital broker that delivers the exact insurance a small business or a freelancer needs. Hey, Chad, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Abel. It's great to be here.
Hey, you know, so Chad, you know, as I'm digging a little bit deeper into your history, you know, you've held quite a few positions in the insurance industry. You know, so talk to me about your career and how you came to co-found Bunker.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'd love to. Yeah, so I spent the better part of my career in the insurance industry, so on the traditional side of the industry. So started my career actually at St. Paul Companies as an underwriter, kind of more on the D&O professional line side. And that was great. Really had a fantastic experience with St. Paul, which, as you probably know, became Travelers Insurance. And I was there over the course of 8 years, effectively working in underwriting and different leadership roles. And then I moved from Travelers to a company called CUNA Mutual. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with CUNA Mutual, but they effectively focus on insurance for credit unions. And so they're kind of this niche insurer that rose out of the Trade Association for Credit Unions back in the 1930s. And so what I did is I led their commercial lines division. So they had the company split up into a few different divisions. Commercial lines was the smallest division. It's about a $300 million book of business, and we effectively provided insurance solutions as the underwriter and broker to credit unions. And then from there, I moved to a company called Axis Capital. Axis, you're probably familiar with, a Bermuda-based insurer, reinsurer. And my responsibilities evolved a little bit there. And so toward the end of my stint, one of my responsibilities that I had been getting more and more involved with was their small business platform. And for me, that was a pretty good lens into just some of the inefficiencies in the SMB space. But with the charge being, you know, let's figure out what the next generation of that platform should look like. You know, what I found challenging was kind of driving the type of innovation that I felt like was necessary inside of a traditional, you know, incumbent. And that's definitely no disrespect to Axis or any of the traditional incumbents. It was more just, you know, they have legacy challenges, technology challenges. And for me, that was kind of the catalyst to say, I think there's a bigger opportunity here, right? Because insurance is a $5 trillion global industry that hasn't seen a lot of innovation. And then living in San Francisco, you know, we've experienced a lot of innovation in other elements of financial services, but insurance had been kind of a laggard. And so for me, that was kind of the catalyst to step out on my own and, you know, effectively try to build kind of the vision for what I had for small business insurance.
Yeah, you know, so Chad, you know, it's pretty interesting in terms of where you came from and sort of your vision as to why you've decided to, you know, co-found and build Bunker. So you know, let's dig into Bunker. You know, what is it and, you know, what's the value proposition of what your company is offering?
So we're a small business insurance platform, but what makes us really unique is that we focus on solving the problem when insurance is the catalyst for somebody to buy, or when a contract, rather, is the catalyst for somebody to buy insurance. And so we started to dive into just the overall process of why do small businesses buy insurance? And what we found in most cases, you know, over 50% of the time, a contract is the catalyst for them to buy insurance. And we kind of knew that pain point existed, and we knew what the pain point was for the small business, but then we started to look at the other side of that equation just to understand that organization that requires insurance, what is their pain point, and could we solve for that through technology? And we started to realize that they hate the process just as much as the small business does, you know, because they have to track and manage that from a compliance perspective at scale with certificates of insurance. And the current solutions that they had been using, funny, I mean, in a lot of cases, they had been using just Excel and other pretty manual traditional solutions to manage a lot of data, just weren't working that well. But that's effectively what made it a really good problem for technology to solve, is that there's a lot of data moving back and forth between these two parties. But effectively, that data today is connected through a network of emails and PDF documents and phone calls. But Bunker is basically the digital network that connects that data together.
And I think you're absolutely right, especially in targeting the policyholders that are looking for insurance when the contract is a catalyst to that. And what I typically tend to recognize, especially in the micro business space, that tends to be the case. As I think about, what you all are doing at Bunker, I realize that, you guys introduced a usage-based liability product that enables, short-term coverage, whether it's 3 or 6 months or anywhere in between, for a particular job. Now, when you see that, that truly shows that the contract is sort of what's driving the need for that type of coverage. So, from your perspective, are you seeing growth in this segment for policyholders?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, since we launched out of beta in June of last year, we've effectively seen double and triple digit month over month growth. And I'm glad that you mentioned the usage-based insurance concept. We're a technology platform that streamlines the process and makes it easier and automates it. But at the same time, we knew that improving the actual insurance product was going to be important as well. And it's funny, kind of a funny story from our early days. There was an insurance executive that I was talking to, and he was describing this process of, like, we have all these really bad customers, and these really bad customers, will buy a policy from us, they'll keep it for 4 months, and then they cancel it, and then 2 months later they call us to reinstate it. And, he described them as really bad customers. And in our mind, that's a customer that just wanted a product that didn't exist. And that was effectively part of the catalyst for building just a better insurance product for that specific use case, to eliminate all that friction, right? To eliminate that person having to cancel a policy and then call back and try to reinstate it 2 months later.
Chad, I have to say, I love the way that you all sort of took this thing that a longer term, let's say, established individual in an established carrier sort of looked at as an issue with policyholders and, calling them a bad policyholder. But instead, you looked at that as an opportunity to say, well, you know what? This is a product that doesn't exist. And this is something that there's really a need for out in this marketplace. So whether they need it for 3 to 6 months, why not provide the capability to innovate the space and give them what they're looking for? I love, when I see folks like yourselves and leaders like yourself really look at those things and create opportunities out of that. I do think a lot about the incumbents that are in this space as well. But, with your product, as you mentioned, it's based on, the technology that's helping to enable transparency in the space, especially when you're thinking about digital. And that gives, policyholders at least some level of visibility around what their policies entail. And then also, when they may need to reinstate or get a longer term policy, So I think about incumbents, and I think about how a lot of, well-funded incumbents, are planning to go digital, and a lot are talking about doing usage-based and short-term solutions. So I guess my question for you is, why do you feel, from your perspective, a policyholder would, drive towards using Bunker solution instead of going with an established carrier?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that makes us unique is that we're embedded right into the contracting process. So consider us like a two-sided platform. So on one side of the platform, you have a member. And so the way we define member is a large organization that has to manage insurance requirement compliance. And so today that company might look like a staffing company, or it might be the actual company just doing it themselves. And then on the other side of the platform, we have customers, right? And those customers are small businesses, independent contractors, those organizations or those freelancers that need an exact level of insurance that the member is requiring. And basically what our platform does is it generates for the member a unique URL that gets embedded right into their contracting process that correlates with whatever exact level of insurance that is required for a specific engagement. So when they're onboarding that new contractor, that new vendor, they embed that unique URL. That customer then clicks on that unique URL, and they're able to see exactly what's required on the Bunker platform and actually apply for and buy that level of insurance. And so we're actually changing the point of sale for small business insurance by just embedding it into the process. And we actually find the customer before they go to search, on Google, or before they call an agent. And that's effectively what makes our platform really unique, is that we're just embedding ourselves into that contracting and compliance process.
You know, I think that is absolutely, a concept that's very innovative. You know, just thinking about what you guys are doing, you know, do you wind up writing on, let's say, your own paper, or are you strictly a technology company that's working and partnering with a carrier to provide the coverage?
So we're strictly a technology platform, but we're also a licensed digital broker. So, you know, effectively partnering with carriers. So we work with companies like Hiscox, Chubb, Travelers, Hartford, and the like. So we're licensed in all 50 states.
No, I absolutely look at that as a sort of an opportunity just to continue to grow your footprint, you know. So as I think again, you know, just about the contract piece of what you guys are doing and how you're pulling it together, leveraging the technology, you know, a lot of contracts are, you know, not only requiring a specific, let's say, liability limit that's included in the contract, but you know, a lot of companies are also requiring companies to have coverage for other types of exposures, you know, when you think about things like cyber insurance and those things, you know. So I think about, let's say, usage based or, you know, freelancers. And I also think about, you know, the length of time around their contractual agreement that may, you know, have some coverage for cyber in some of the policies that they may have for a longer term policy. Let's say they're getting a small business policy for roughly about 12 months or so. You know, so I just wanted to get your perspective on those types of exposures like cyber. You know, so I guess my question for you is, you know, do you offer a cyber type coverage or coverages that are really those that are that a lot of let's say. Larger policyholders require? And then, you know, do you consider that really to be an important part of the value and of the types of coverages that you all are offering at Bunker?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really do need to be kind of a full stack line of business provider, just because, to your point, like, we're seeing more and more cases where cyber is included in a contract, or crime insurance is included in a contract, or work comp. And so from our point of view, you know, we can satisfy all of those requirements for any of the customers coming through our platform. And one of the unique things that we've started to do, too, for the member, so as an example, the member is that large company, again, that has to track the insurance requirement compliance, is use the data that we're capturing around types of insurance requirements, because we're working with, you know, effectively hundreds of companies that track insurance requirement compliance, and use that data to help them set more effective insurance requirements that correlate more to the exposure of, you know, that contractor, that vendor that they're working with. And what we've heard from our clients, from our members rather, is that, you know, insurance requirements typically get set by procurement maybe, and they go unchanged for a decade or two. And so our platform effectively uses data to help them set more effective insurance requirements that correlate more to the actual risk.
Yeah, you know, so Chad, I'm just wondering, you know, I see this platform that you all have pulled together. I see that you and your team, you know, you all have really began to, you know, create partnerships, you know, through the digital broker channel with a lot of some of the larger carriers that you mentioned, like the Chubbs and so on of the world. You know, I guess, you know, what I'm wondering, you know, is what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that you all have faced as you started to grow your company? And then also, what do you see as some of the challenges that you may face on a go-forward basis?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And it's definitely, there are no shortage of challenges in building a company. I think one of the things that I think most founders would say is, you know, you can expect something to take a certain amount of time, and it's almost always usually going to take longer than that. You know, and I mean, some of the challenges that we faced early on is we built a lot of prototypes and, you know, just did quite a bit of alpha testing with the member, so that large company, to understand, you know, what does, you know, effectively product market fit look like for that member. And so that was one of the challenges that we had to overcome early on. And I think it's, you know, it's hard for any new product to do that, but I think it's even more difficult in the insurance industry, right? Because, you know, the insurance industry is heavily regulated, and so you need to be licensed. You can't really effectively have just a lightweight solution and start, you know, selling insurance. You really need to have, you know, your own licensing in place. And so, you know, I think that was one of the early challenges that any insurance tech company faces. And, you know, challenges as we look forward, you know, we kind of look at, call it the product challenge two ways. One, we're building additional features for both the customer and the member from a technology perspective. So we have some really cool things coming up on the horizon throughout 2018. And then ultimately just growing the platform. So we're, you know, starting out with, I would say, a focus more on kind of staffing and procurement. And then we'll be expanding in 2018 into other verticals where this pain point of insurance that's required by contract exists.
I'm thinking about, you know, what you mentioned just a little bit earlier on about, you know, the many prototypes that you all pull together. You know, one of the things that I always say, especially when you're dealing with an industry like insurance, as you mentioned, that's heavily regulated, or that even within an insurance carrier, the life cycle to adopting technology could take quite some time, you know, with you going in and you presenting to, you know, the carrier what the value is, and then, you know, working with them on, you know, leveraging, let's say, your technology, or you, you know, partnering with the organization as a with the technology that you pull together. So one of the things that I always say is that, you know, a prototype is much better than any business plan. You know, something that's tangible that organizations can see and feel and really, you know, hone in on what the value is going to be through either leveraging that technology or working with your organization. You know, so I could imagine, you know, with your introduction of some of these or of the new technology and trying to get and work with you know, some of the other carriers, that time was probably a challenge as well, you know. But I always say that that's a key part of when you're trying to innovate and change the value chain. Those are things that's basically ripe to overcome. So, you know, what I do want to do though is just get from your perspective, you know, as you've seen what you've been through with Bunker, and then you're looking sort of in the future of the industry, you know, I just want to say, you know, what you see as some of the key things that are going to be driving insurance innovation over the next few years.
So, I mean, one of the things too, kind of outside of Bunker, is that in early 2015, I started to invest in insurance tech companies. And it was interesting because living in San Francisco, you know, I started to meet a lot of founders, a lot of other people that were innovating in other you know, industries outside of insurance. But then in late 2014, early 2015, I started to hear from more founders that were focused on insurance and insurance-related technology. And so it's been really fun to kind of watch the ecosystem evolve. And, you know, I think in, call it 2016, 2017, there was quite a bit of focus on distribution. And I think that continues to be a big, you know, a big focus for a lot of companies. But, you know, now you're starting to see other parts of the value chain that are being improved, you know, whether it's better technology and data from an underwriting perspective, better claim solutions. So I think it's really, really early days in terms of just all the different innovation that we'll see for the insurance industry.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, sort of the quick changing within the value chain, or innovation of the insurance value chain. You know, so insurance, as you mentioned, it really is changing quickly with multiple opportunities to innovate the value chain. You know, so for Bunker, you know, any thoughts of expanding more broadly beyond just specifically what you all are doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at it as, you know, there'll be both product and platform improvements throughout 2018. And so we've got some pretty ambitious growth plans and, you know, I would say a product roadmap, both on the insurance side and on the technology side in 2018.
Now, also along those same lines, you know, as we and this show, we tend to get listeners from all across the world, and I know you guys are based out of the West Coast, and you know tend to partner with, or you're tending to work more domestically. But are your thoughts also, you know, at some point to you know, work internationally, or are you guys already doing that at Bunker?
Yeah, we're not doing that today. And I would say in the near and intermediate term, we're really focused on the U.S. market. You know, and it's interesting if you look at small business insurance in general, right? I mean, the U.K. and other parts of Europe are a little bit ahead of the U.S. by probably 5 or 6 years in terms of, you know, insurance has been bought and sold online for quite some time. And, you know, it's, call it 20 to 30% market share in the UK is distributed online. US is really, really early days still. So there's plenty of opportunities for us just to focus domestically for now. And then, you know, kind of beyond that, we'll wait and see.
I think that makes perfect sense, especially if you find that the opportunity is there. So Chad, as you know, we talk really deeply about innovation on this podcast. And, you know, as I look at what you all have done, as I mentioned earlier, I think it absolutely is a very innovative concept, right? And then I always start to, try to compare, things that I see to what's happening external to the insurance industry. So two things that I always remember about innovation, or about challenges that others, let's say incumbents, might have around innovation are two scenarios. One is, when I remember how Nokia, as a company outside of insurance, of course, but, they refused to buy Android. And the other thing that I always remember from early days of the internet is when, Yahoo, refused to buy Google. And I think the cost around that was only about $15 million. We all know how that story ended, right? Nokia is not really the same company that it once was, and Yahoo is not the same company, and Google is a company that's grown fairly significantly when you think about what they've done with, even with Android in the Nokia situation, or what they're doing with search and so on and beyond that. So when we think about innovation, from your perspective, why do you think it's hard for incumbents to identify opportunities that might lead to success for them? Because as I think about what you all have done at Bunker, and sort of the anecdote that you gave earlier, there some incumbents sort of thought that there was, problem policyholders, and you looked at that as an opportunity. So why do you think incumbents find it challenging to identify those types of opportunities?
Yeah, no, Abel, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I think some of, the ones that come to mind for me are, I think in most cases the ideas probably exist within, the incumbent organizations. And in a lot of cases, I think they're things that they actually talk about and consider. But I do think that they're a little bit confined, whether it's distribution channel conflict, if they, maybe don't want to sell insurance directly, or, they have a large agency force that they worry about upsetting. That's a real problem that an organization has to kind of think through. And, and then there's kind of the legacy technology challenges that, any large insurer typically has. And so, I think those are some of the more pronounced reasons why. But I do think that, to the extent that answers typically lie within your organization, the more that you can empower individuals to act on and test new ideas, and I think more insurers are starting to do that. And I think that's fantastic. And that's ultimately going to, create just better products and better solutions for the customers, whether you're a small business needing insurance or an individual needing insurance. But yeah, I think the answers typically lie within those companies. It's just more a function of, do they want to act on them, and then putting the resources behind actually doing it.
So even in the, with what you all are doing and your organization, I think about whether or not it's easier, as to the point that you made, for a company like yours, sort of newer in the space, to innovate and create a culture of innovation within your organization versus sort of larger incumbent carriers or just larger companies in general. And I absolutely agree with you. Empowering individuals to take the lead and to bring in different ideas and change the status quo, I think becomes very important. I'd like to get your viewpoint on this. How do you and how do your leadership in Bunker maintain a culture of innovation in your organization, really to ensure that not only you're keeping up with the needs of your of the employees that work there, but also the needs of your customer?
Yep, definitely. Yeah. So we're still a pretty small team today. We're about 20 employees. Culture is actually something that we talk a fair bit about. And I think this somewhat relates to just to kind of innovation, but we kind of look at culture as, equity in a company, right? If you're, let's say you start at a company and you're one of the first 20 or 25 employees, you individually are going to own more of that culture than perhaps someone joining at employee number 100 or 150. And so it's interesting, as we talk about culture internally as a team of 20, people, All of us, it's our responsibility to kind of create the culture, part of which is innovation, but create a culture that we all want, right? Because if we fast forward the clock 6 months or 12 months down the road, me as CEO, I can help drive, you know, some of the culture for the organization, but ultimately it's all of us individually that kind of create that culture. And so we being kind of a smaller team, focus on it quite a bit because we know that 6 months, 12 months, you know, 20 months down the road, culture is typically something that's formed a little bit more early in a company. And so we take, I would say, a pretty deliberate and intentional approach to thinking about what is the culture of Bunker and what do we want it to be, you know, 12 months from now.
Yeah, I think that the culture element, especially earlier on when you get employees sort of in a smaller organization like yours, and by the way, 20 is pretty significant, especially considering when you all started, by the way. So I did want to mention that, but I do think you're absolutely right in terms of the sort of the weight that some of the earlier employees have on the culture of an organization and you know, how it could potentially shape the future of where that organization is going. You know, I'm thinking about the insurance industry. I think about where incumbents are going. I think about now, you know, insurtech being a thing, and then I think about, you know, what you all are trying to accomplish at Bunker. But you know, I'd like to get your view on, you know, what do you fear most about the industry that might impact Bunker over the next couple of years?
I don't know if there's anything about the industry that I fear the most. You know, for us and for a lot of our peer companies, I think it just comes down to execution. I don't know that there's anything specifically about the, you know, the industry that I'm worried about or keeps me up at night.
So, you know, one of the questions that I always ask, you know, just to bring this home and to make this tangible for the audience that's listening to this podcast is, we tend to get listeners from all around the spectrum within the insurance industry and within the technology industry, whether it's an underwriter or the head of an organization, the CEO of a larger insurance company. What I truly believe is that those individuals all across the industry have the ability to change and to impact what's happening in their organizations to change the status quo. You know, so that the question that I always ask is, you know, if there's a piece of advice you could give to the listeners to do things differently and think about things differently in their organizations to change the status quo, you know, what advice would you give those individuals?
Yeah, no, great question. I think it's just testing and trying new things, right? I mean, that's something from our point of view that we're doing all the time, constantly testing different ways to, you know, whether it's A/B testing, you know, different UI or just testing different approaches with customers. And, you know, I think it's something that any industry just needs to embrace and adopt. You know, so it's maybe test more, do more, you know, build prototypes, right? So instead of, you know, you're never going to ultimately really understand a problem as well as you should until you start building it and kind of iterating on it and having customers use it. And so, you know, I think just really empower people to test and try different things and experiment.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So, you know, Chad, I do want to say thank you for your time, you know, talking to me and the listeners of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast about, you know, your thoughts on innovation and also what you guys are doing over at Bunker. I think I really think you guys have an excellent and a wonderful product that's going to help to drive, you know, a segment of what we're doing in the insurance industry. But, you know, if the listeners wanted to learn more or wanted to know more about Bunker and either get in contact with yourself or your team, you know, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, definitely. So they can just hit us up at either hello@buildbunker.com. You can contact me just at chad@buildbunker.com or just go to buildbunker.com.
Perfect. Chad, once again, thank you. I truly appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Abel. It was a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, everybody. You know, thanks for listening to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, episode 27. So through 1 through 27, there's been a lot going on since I started this podcast way back in the beginning. And I just want to say for those that's been listening since episode 1 and anyone that's come in ever since then, thank you for listening to what I have to talk about and the folks that I'm speaking to in regards to insurance innovation. I'll see you next week.